It's Red Eye Radio. Gary McNamara and Eric Harley talk about everything from politics to social issues and news of the day. Whether you're up late or you're just starting your day, welcome to the show. This is Red Eye Radio.
All across America and around the world, 866-90-RED-EYE, redeyeradioshow.com. We stream live or get our app and you can listen live or you can listen to our podcast. Hi, thanks for being here.
Thank you.
You know, we had mentioned that but because one of the callers brought up about Adam Schiff. Yes, I do believe that they will attack him. I'm really looking forward to Saturday because I already know what the Democrats' case is. We've known it for, over a month now,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
Almost 2 months we've known it because we've known the case. The case was over before Thanksgiving.
Right.
So we've known exactly what the case is. Nothing is new here. I have no idea. I have suspicions, but I actually have no idea how the Republicans are going to respond because they've never had a chance to respond.
No.
Think about this. In all this time, yes, you had members of the House respond, but you have never had the president's own defense team respond because the defendant in this case has never had an opportunity. Now, will they attack Adam Schiff? I believe they will attempt to destroy the credibility. I would be surprised if they did not, but they will attempt to destroy the total credibility, which won't be hard, of the lead prosecutor, who is Adam Schiff,
mm-hmm.
because he's easy pickings.
Yeah, it's not hard to do.
And you know, we have talked about all the lies that he got caught up in. I want to play this audio cut from House Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy, who talked about not the lies, but the fact that Adam Schiff is fixated on the cover-up of Trump. When he goes, when actually the biggest cover-ups have come from Adam Schiff himself.
Right.
Adam Schiff continues to get fixated on the word cover-up. But he's the one who's covering up. Remember, he covered up no evidence of Russia collusion. He covered up his contact with the whistleblower. He covered up truth from coming out when he stopped the witnesses from answering the Republicans' questions. And then he covered up, this is really interesting, the only testimony that has not come out from the basement is the inspector general. Why? Because it probably proves he's a fact witness. Now he's covering up texts with more lies. This is all that Adam Schiff has ever done, and the American people are continuing to see it.
The one thing that he didn't put in there is that it was Adam Schiff who not only tried to cover up, but lied about what the classified information was telling us on FISA abuse. Remember when Nunes came out with his memo and all hell broke loose that if he releases this memo, sources... And people's lives could be in danger, sources
right.
and methods
right.
might be released, and none of that happened at all. And when he came out with it, it showed that there was serious FISA abuse from the FBI. Adam Schiff came out and said, that's a lie by Nunes. What Nunes and the Republicans are telling you is not what the classified information said. He came out with this whole report. We found out in December from the inspector general that it was Adam Schiff and the Democrats who think about this. They looked at the same classified information. And when Nunes came out and reported it accurately, and the Republicans reported it accurately on FISA abuse. Remember, this is the FBI not following the rules and regulations about getting a secret warrant on an American citizen. And the Republicans told you the truth, and Adam Schiff and the Democrats, but led by Adam Schiff, put out a report lying to the American people, and we know that he lied because of the Inspector General's report that came out in December. We found out at that point that Devin Nunes was correct, and Adam Schiff lied. Did they put him as the lead prosecutor because they believe they can waste him?
I think so.
I have to ask you.
I believe that's, you know, I think I alluded to that the other night when it was announced because I think it really is. Honestly, he's like a ghost. For those of us following it, we know who he is. We know what he's made of. But for everything else, he can just stand up there and do what he's been doing. Nadler. Nadler's horrible at what he does. I mean, he is horrible. So it didn't surprise me because, first of all, they were the ones that created the narrative, the false narrative and the lies. I could see Pelosi saying, okay, great. This is your show. You guys are going to lead it. Go. But there's also, again, tell me where the damage is. Tell me where the damage is against a Nadler or an Adam Schiff politically. There isn't any. And so, and they've already, they're making the same case they've been making all along. They're doing the same thing they did in the House, but now you add to it, they're folding in Russian collusion for some bizarre reason that the American people cannot be trusted on Election Day. That's basically what he said yesterday. The American people can't be trusted on Election Day. We have to, because think about the effect of what they're really saying.
Well, he's saying the American people can't be trusted because it will be rigged.
Well, exactly,
but what he's saying is the American people can't be trusted.
Exactly right. What they've been saying since 2016.
Right.
That they take this from the American voter who legitimately backed this president.
Right.
And I'm telling you, they don't understand the damage they've been doing since day one. They really don't see it. And I know there's a lot of people, Trump supporters and people on the right that have been doing the hashtag landslide 2020. I don't know if it's going to be a landslide, but if it is, we'll know exactly why. People aren't going to tolerate this kind of behavior over and over again. And then you go in. What he was saying yesterday had nothing to do with impeachment. You know, they really remember they wanted to go back, and the thought was when they were putting the articles of impeachment together, they wanted to go back and bring some language that that included Russian collusion. Well, the 31 Democrats that are in those districts where Trump is fairly strong said no Russian collusion in here. So what does he do when he gets to the trial? Well, it's not in the articles. He couldn't put it in the articles because his fellow Democrats didn't want him to put it in those articles. So he's just going to bring it up during his presentation, during his opening argument.
Even though I've been switching on and off just because I've been busy the last couple of days and it's tough to watch 8 hours or 12 hours and mm-hmm. I'm sleeping through a significant portion of it, it's not as imperative for me to watch what the Democrats are saying. And if they're making a new case, I'll know about it because everything is a repeat of what we have heard, including Russia collusion for the last 3 years from Adam Schiff, who was the main speaker. There were others yesterday, but he was the main speaker the majority of the day.
Mm-hmm.
And we know what their argument is. I'm going to be fascinated on Saturday when the, you know, Republicans, you know, then can make their defense. It's going to be fascinating to see how the president's lawyers and will they go point by point? Don't be surprised if they go point by point with Adam Schiff, because this is the thing when you're on the defense, mm-hmm. you have the opportunity to cross examine.
Yep.
And yep. So in this political trial, the prosecutor becomes a witness at the same time, and so you are doing the cross examination of the witness by stating this is a lie, Adam Schiff did this, and I believe if they don't bring it up, well, then they deserve what they get.
Well, yeah.
But if they don't bring up the history of Adam Schiff and the many lies and the cover-ups that he has been involved in personally, all relating to the defendant, they're bigger idiots than we are. And we're pretty big idiots. But seriously, if they don't, you have to, number one, you have a legit reason, a totally legit reason to attack Adam Schiff.
Yes, you do.
But, you know, when you talk about where the public is, because we hear this all the time, and I asked you, I said, How big do you think the silent majority is? And it's not just, I was telling you, what is it, the president's supposed to speak on the 31st, and it's supposed to be in an arena, I forgot where it even is, in 7,500 it holds, and there's apparently a list of 100,000 people that want to get into it. Now, I don't judge how an election's going to be normally by rallies that exist. You and I both agree, even during Obama's second term, the passion for a political candidate of Trump right now in a second term is absolutely unheard of. I've never seen this before at all. Right. How do you quantify that into how it will result in the number of people that vote for him? I don't know. You look at the numbers, you see, we've talked about the Blexit movement. We've talked about the polling that shows that anywhere between 30 to 35% of blacks support President Trump. You and I have said if that's off by half, that's still huge numbers for the president. Even if it's only 15, 16, 17%, you know, that is, that is still huge. How many, you know, we talk about the independents and how important independents are, and how you have to convince them. We know that Trump was able to peel off Democrats in a certain number of states, in Wisconsin, Michigan, and Pennsylvania. How many more will he be able to peel off? Mm. There has to eventually be a realization from the Democrats that I grew up with. I will tell you that. Let me give you an example. The Kevin and Ken vote that we talked about in 2012. I don't see them posting much on politics anymore.
Right.
They've gone pretty quiet on it. Why? Is there a realization from, hypothetically, from 5 or 10% of Democrats right now saying, this is not the party of my father? Remember, political parties are passed down.
Yeah.
You know, through families.
Mm-hmm.
Most likely what your parents are is what you end up being. And I look, for example, at, you know, and I've talked about this before. My grandfather came, you know, he came from Ireland. The family came from Ireland. And then they lived in Canada. And he left Canada because, and I only found this out, remember when I found it out like 3 years ago? Nobody had ever talked about it. And I find out late in life, my grandfather immigrated to the United States from Ontario because of the absolute incredible bigotry and intolerance towards Irish Catholics.
Yes.
And I had to do research on it and found out in the early 1900s, there was unbelievable bigotry. He had to leave. So he came to the United States. Well, he moved into a town that was dominant Republican. And he said, man, I came to America. There should be two parties and they should be well represented. So he became one of the Democratic representatives for decades in the town that I grew up in. I never got to talk to my grandfather about politics much. We just never got into those discussions. I asked my dad many times, would Gramps be a Democrat today? And he said, absolutely not. In fact, he was moving in the opposite direction because of Roe v. Wade changed him. You know, he was, my grandfather was as big of a, you know, very, very religious, very, very big Roman Catholic, went to church every single day. So he walked right down the street to church. So, I said, would he be a Democrat today? No. Well, that passed down to a significant number. I mean, the change in the Democrat Party, even back then, changed a significant number of people to move and become Republicans. In this absolute insanity of a party that they've become, how many will say, I can't vote that way anymore, and no, I'm not a Republican, but I'll vote for Trump. And, and I'll vote at least temporarily this way because I'm not, these people are nuts.
Well, you had that in 2016, you had that.
Yes. Which won the election.
Which won the election. And now look how much there has been. I mean, you basically, you justified that decision for them. The Democrats, for those blue voters that voted for Trump, the Democrats in power have proven once again they were right to do that. So I think it just stands to reason that there would be a greater effect in that direction.
Because this is not the Democrat Party. You can't look at it as a reasonable observer of political parties and say that this party is anything close to even Democrats from 10 years ago on major issues.
Exactly. Well, we go back to, you know, the it was as late as 2014 when some key Democrats were talking about barriers on the border.
Right.
I mean, it's light years. And we still have months to go between now and November. Who knows? They just it's they just keep setting off all these, you know, little bombshells. And it just explodes. Right. It's just a boomerang effect over and over again.
If you want to chat, we do have a line open. 866-90-RED-EYE.
Starting and charging system-related issues are one of the most common causes of winter breakdowns. So when your batteries talk, it's important you listen. Knowing the warning signs that could indicate your electrical system needs attention can help you avoid getting stuck out in the cold this winter. Your truck's inability to crank at the proper speed is the most obvious sign that a battery-related issue is present. If you experience any sluggishness when cranking your engine, get a full electrical system check from a trusted service provider. Continuing to crank a vehicle with low or inadequate voltage will damage the starter and can cost you uptime down the road. Stop into a TA truck service shop near you to have your electrical system tested by an ASC-certified technician today.
This maintenance tip is brought to you by TA Truck Service. More bays, more expertise, more solutions.
We'll be right back with more Red Eye Radio with Eric Harley and Gary McNamara.
It's Red Eye Radio. He is Eric Harley. I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90-RED-EYE. Let us go to Steve in Virginia. Steve, welcome. You're on Red Eye Radio. Welcome to the show. Hi.
Hey, thank you very much. Let you know I'm a first-time caller, and you guys are great.
Thank
I'm
you.
Already getting the app.
Thank you.
Thanks.
So, hey, callers were talking about impeachment, and somebody mentioned William Barr, and it got me to thinking, you know, I think what we're seeing here is two different dynamics that are affecting the behavior of the Democratic Party. And one is their hatred of Trump, and that's obvious, and we all see that.
Mm-hmm.
And it causes them and the media and all of their people that think alike to just doing bizarre things that they know are flimsy and wrong and lies.
Yeah.
This is why Adam Schiff can get up on TV and the media doesn't call him out, because they all hate Trump. But I think within the party, behind closed doors, the real reason, these are smart people, the real reason that they are going forward with such weak, historically weak articles of impeachment, doing something that's only been done three times in the history of our country, right? They have to know that this is a big risk, but they're doing it because they either know or suspect that the whole FISA abuse and the Russian collusion and the things that the FBI and the DOJ did under the Obama administration, it is so damaging that they are forced to take these risks.
Yeah, because I mean, that's
a solid point.
It's completely
yes.
irrelevant when the truth comes out.
Well, seriously, I mean, it is the ultimate political Hail Mary. You know, I mean,
exactly.
Yeah, and that is only done except I would say that in the game of football, the Hail Mary really is about strategy. This really is more about desperation. But nonetheless, you're trying to do anything you can. You're giving it your all, and they believe they're going to score, which is exactly why they had to bring Russian collusion into it yesterday. And thanks for the call. We appreciate it, Steve, and thanks for being on the app.
The only thing I would debate you with is the fact that you're a Dallas Cowboys fan, so you know that Hail Marys are used in desperation.
Well, they will be now that we will have a coach.
Unstable Radicals, Eric Harley and Gary McNamara on Red Eye Radio.
And he's Eric Harley. I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90 Red Eye. I'm just dying here reading Jennifer Rubin. Historians are going to have difficulty explaining how the Republicans could acquit. The answer is they are as corrupt as Trump. And it says conservative blogger at the, you know, she's used to be a conservative.
Mm-hmm.
Conservative blogger at the Washington Post, MSNBC, MSNBC contributor.
Yeah.
Based on what? You know, they throw out those statements, but you never hear them get into specifics.
No, you don't.
Because you can't.
No. They're all corrupt.
By the way, we and I were talking about the Never Trumpers are still out there. She's one. Bill Kristol's still out there.
Yeah, but it's kind of died.
Well, the media Never Trumpers are still there.
Well, but that's because the media gives them a place.
Yes.
You know, that's the whole idea. Well, but you're a conservative and just quit talking. Because if you're making the same points that Adam Schiff is making,
you're not a conservative.
You're not a conservative.
No.
You've checked your critical thinking at the door.
Yeah, it was like David Brooks last week on NPR. And we had to ask, you know, what are they smoking over there?
Oh, my gosh.
The conservative over there, Adam Schiff, is,
yeah,
you know, going to, you know, wipe the floor up with the, and it's like,
are you kidding me?
What seriously?
Are you kidding me?
What are you smoking? What is it? Let me ask you, is this the problem? We live in Texas, and my town just legalized hard liquor to be sold.
Yeah, I don't have that
all
in
right.
my town, no.
Yeah, we finally got it.
Yeah.
It was a liquor store.
Well, thank goodness.
we have a liquor store, well, only 3.5 miles from me now, because it used to be like 17, because I used to have to go to Arlington, Texas to get it.
Right.
But now, yeah.
I make my own. I got a still in the backyard.
But still, I mean, all these places are legalizing it. Is that the difference? We've had to ask a serious question. Is the reason why we have these opinions that we have, and it seems like everybody else has gone off a cliff, is it the legalization of pot? Is that the difference?
I think it's quite possible.
We have to. Is everybody high?
Yeah, I think they must be smoking something. I mean, seriously, you're making the point. Oh, Adam Schiff is just going to mop up with the Republicans.
You know, I asked you this question the other day off the air, because you and I always have these discussions, and we talk about the media, and we talk about the Never Trumpers that exist out there. We talk about the number of talk show host who used to claim to be conservative but quit because of Trump and the anger out there and everything else. And, and you know, I just looked at you and I said, have we changed at all? Maybe evolved on a few opinions, you know, since I first became a talk show host 31 years ago. But I think the exact same. And you and I've talked about this. We had pushed back when I had pushed back when I first became a talk show host, when I forgot what it was about, but when I went after, you know, the Herbert Walker Bush for something, there was pushback.
Yeah.
And then, you know, Clinton and then the first Bush. Yeah. You and I both got, but we weren't working together at that point till later on in his administration. But we got pushed back when we hit Bush, and we got pushed back when we hit Trump. But it was like, it's what we've always done. We've, you know, and so to me, and I looked at you and I said, has anything changed for us business-wise or mental-wise? Are we just doing the show we've always done? And you looked at me and said, we're doing the show we've always done.
Well, the problem with, if you're going to evolve, or like they said about Obama, grapple, I don't have a problem per se of anybody, whether they're running for office or not, having a change of heart, a true change of heart, which leads to a change in opinion. If that happens, then fine. But I'm very curious. My question then, especially if they want me to vote for them, where was your change of heart? It is different, though. Uh, I maybe I've had, and I don't know, I'd have to think for a while. There are a couple of things where I've shifted a little bit on the solution to an issue or problem.
Right.
But it's not that the core value has changed. I mean, the president started as a candidate. We're going to build a wall and make Mexico pay for it. But really on the core issue of immigration, he hasn't changed. The Democrats have. They have completely done a 180 from where they were just several years ago. And it is, I think about too, again, the never Trumpers, the few of them that are left that are out there, you know, arguing, making the points like Democrats. I mean, if you're going to do that, if you're going to give them legitimate standing on the case of impeachment or anything else that they have done, thrown at this president so far, then just tell everybody you're a liberal. That's okay. You're a liberal. Now you're going to be wrong, but it doesn't matter. You're wrong now. Don't claim to be a conservative. Look, if you're not a fan of the president, okay, fine. If you don't support the president, okay, great. That's your choice. And you call yourself a conservative, and you can point out where you are a conservative and you just don't want this guy to be president. That's one thing. But to pick up the arguments and the tactics by the left and use them, you're on the left. You've abandoned your conservative ideology.
Which means no critical thinking.
Exactly.
Making a statement without backing it up. I know on Twitter the other day, I can't remember what it was. I think you read it too, where Bill Kristol said something where people said, look, are you seriously, are you okay?
Right.
Because you're just destroying your reputation as a critical thinker completely. You're just off the deep. This is just emotional rage that's coming from you.
Right.
And I'm thinking to myself, why would anybody allow any politician to ever do that to them?
Yeah, that's what I don't get. That's a great point. Ultimately, it's the same kind of emotion driven in the left. So,
Were you that soft to begin with?
Right.
I have to ask.
What was your threshold? You know, because if you don't stand strong on your ideology and what you believe, it's going to be clear in how you argue. You know,
that's a good point.
You know, it's so you abandon critical thinking. And you're playing the emotional game. Well, you're on the left now. If you don't support the president, you disagree with him, I don't know, on a number of things. And I'll never support the guy. I'll never vote for the guy. But you argue with critical thinking, and you argue an ideology. That's one thing. When you start using the tactics by the left and abandon your critical thinking, and you check that at the door, you're not a conservative. You're not. And don't claim to be. And you want to pretend to be an elitist. You're on a greater level of thinking, I guess, than the president. You're above the president. And that is exactly how the left works. You know?
I'm coming from a higher morality.
Exactly.
So I don't have to even explain myself.
Exactly.
I don't have to put out word to you and I, and we said this earlier in the show, because we had talked about, you know, we'd gotten a few calls from, you know, people on the left that try to lump us in with everybody else. And we said, number one, don't lump us in. We'll take responsibility for what we say, not what anybody else says.
Right.
If, you know, we know the topic or somebody who has said something, we'll analyze whether we believe it was critical thinking or not. But we've said, look, we have in our career gone after Republicans all the time, including the president. Did we get pushback during the campaign? Yeah, but that's, you know, what business did we choose?
Right.
You know, it's just like, well, I give my opinion and there's pushback.
Yeah, right.
Oh, and gravity exists.
Yeah, exactly.
Wow, I can't believe it. Right. Somebody's pushing back because I have, and so that's expected. And I think about it, especially with the never Trumpers in the media, that they thought that they got some type of, I don't know, street cred with who? The left?
I don't know where they're trying to.
You know, but I think where's the street cred coming from? I never under I never understood that. I can sit there and look at any candidate. Number one, it's not personal. And we said this about Obama.
Right, right.
They go, I hate Obama. Well, I don't know him, so I don't hate him, but I can tell you whether he's wrong. I can't get into his specific motivation. And a lot of people wish to do that.
Mm-hmm.
They somehow, if they want to mind read and say, this is the specific motivation behind this particular person. Well, it could be and it could not be, but you're never going to know and I'm never not going to know. So we don't argue those points.
Right.
We argue the point whether they're correct or not, whether there's critical thinking of it, what they're saying is truthful or not. And the rest of people, if you have intuition that is greater than us, mm-hmm. then get a talk show and see if you can sell that and
right.
and have great success in doing that because, you know, that's your thing. That's just not our thing. And so it was just Trump was just somebody else who were analyzing and, okay, we're conservative and, okay, didn't like this. Oh, okay, 3 years into it. He's done a pretty good job. I like what he's doing. And what's the other side? Oh, my. They are bat. Oh, I can't finish that. They're insane.
They are. And
that's where you are.
And I look at Alan Dershowitz. I think it's very fitting that he's on the president's team because I look at him and he can separate the people from the ideas. He's not going to vote for Trump. It's not going to happen. But he's willing to defend the ideas and also the process, the Constitution, the basis of our country, our society. He is willing to defend that and stand up and do it all day long. Now, the left calls him out on it, and they hate that he does that. But the fact of the matter is, he does it for a reason. He does it, and I think any critical thinker can separate themselves from the people and focus on the ideas, which is what we have done, I think, for years. And you look at it, and of course we get into the analysis of who the candidates are, aesthetics, and you know what they, how they look, how they their mannerisms. That's all part of it, but that's separate from the bigger conversation about the Constitution, about a nation of laws, about a society, about justice, and that's I think always more important.
Getting some feedback already. Jennifer Rubin is not a conservative.
Mm-hmm.
We know that.
Yeah. That was the whole point we just made.
That was the point.
Yeah. That was the point. You know, because again, if you say, I don't like the guy and I don't trust the guy and I'm not going to vote for him, but then you have a debate on ideas and you put on a display that involves critical thinking, then okay, I could say, all right, you're a conservative. You just don't like the president. But it's been bizarre from the never Trumper side. You know, those never Trumpers have just, like Bill Kristol, like you mentioned, just tossed out all critical thinking. They're just reacting. Well,
as if it's personal.
Yes.
Or they are so offended.
Right.
That it cuts to the core of their soul and their rage is just. And to me, that shows, especially when you're in the media and as when you've been promoting yourself as a conservative, mm-hmm. shows to me a certain level of immaturity.
Right.
It really does.
Yeah. Yeah, it does. And you again, you're using the tactics and showing the mindset of a liberal. So don't call yourself a conservative. But the media loves it. They want to bring on a conservative who is not supporting the president. Okay.
You notice a lot of conservatives won't fake being a liberal.
Exactly. Right.
I'm going to be. I'm a liberal. You're actually a conservative.
Yeah.
It only right. It seems to only happen one way, right?
Yeah, it does.
How many people out there where you can sit there and go, they're not really a conservative? You can look at a David Brooks. You can look at, you know, in some cases he can be.
Mm-hmm.
But for the most part, in critical thinking of analyzing Trump, it's out the window.
Well, that's it.
I mean, anybody would say in public that Schiff is going to wipe, you know, basically totally blow away the president's lawyers, knowing the history of Schiff,
mm-hmm.
there is absolutely no critical thinking involved there at all. Yeah. Zero.
Right.
Zero. If you don't have any type of critical thinking in something like that, how can I trust you on any other issue?
Right.
And it's not personal towards Schiff. I don't know who he is. Do you like him? I don't like his lies. His lies are pretty obvious.
Mm-hmm.
He's been exposed.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think he should be serving in the U.S. Congress, but I don't get to make that decision. Nope. His constituents do.
Yep.
And they apparently like that he does that.
If you vote for him, you endorse that behavior.
Right. That's the you know, behavior that he is that he wishes to put out there.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
All right, 866-90-RED-EYE.
Get in touch with Red Eye Radio, toll free at 866-90-RED-EYE.
It's Red Eye Radio. He's Eric Carlin. I'm Gary McNamara. In other news, are killing off Mr. Peanut.
Yes, Planters is killing off Mr. Peanut, their mascot, in a commercial. And it's pretty funny.
This is Red Eye Radio on Westwood One. It's Red Eye Radio. Gary McNamara and Eric Harley talk about everything from politics to social issues and news of the day. Whether you're up late or just starting your day, welcome to the show. From the Pilot Flying J Studios, this is Red Eye Radio.
All across America and around the world, 866-90-RED-EYE. Welcome and good morning. He is Eric Harley and I'm Gary McNamara. Thank you for being here.
Yeah, thanks a lot.
In the news, well, very appreciative on that side.
Uh-huh.
In the news today, the Trump campaign is all ready for the impeachment trial.
They never wanted him to be president. They never even thought it was possible.
This isn't a real presidential run.
Trump will not be president.
He will never be president.
But then, America spoke.
A complete earthquake.
Donald Trump wins the presidency.
And when President Trump was sworn in as the 45th president of the United States, the left lost it.
Justice! Establish justice!
We the people!
This impeachment sham started the day he was elected.
The first headline in the Washington Post before the president was inaugurated was they were going to impeach him.
I will fight until he is impeached.
We're going to go in there, we're going to impeach the motherfucker.
I'm concerned that if we don't impeach this president, he will get reelected.
This is about preventing a potentially disastrous outcome from occurring next year.
They're impeaching me, you know why? Because they want to win an election, and that's the only way they can do it.
So let's be clear. This is not some neutral judgment that Democrats came to reluctantly. It's not some somber moment or serious exercise for the left. It is the predetermined end of a partisan crusade.
Nancy Pelosi has said she's not going to send the articles of impeachment over.
Wait a minute. This is not very serious if you're not sending over the articles.
Which ones for handing out souvenir impeachment pens?
The Congress is wasting a lot of their time and our time.
I've been a Democrat for 49 years. I'm very disappointed in the Democratic Party right now.
They are trying to prevent President Trump from winning a second term.
An angry mob is at the gate. But the United States Senate has the watch. The Senate exists for moments like this. So it's time for the adults in the room to have their seat at the table. Nancy Pelosi and House Democrats have had their turn. The sham is over. A fair trial starts now.
And the headline is, the Senate exists for moments like this.
Yeah.
So,
right.
Now, how often that ad's going to be played, where it's going to be played, I don't know. It's a pretty long ad. It's like 2 minutes and 10 seconds. So it's something that probably is normally not made for television. And,
no.
And you and I both agreed on it and talked about this earlier. This should be a multi-million dollar buy, not just online, but across TV, TV networks this week.
Yeah.
Probably with the length, it is not, but it should be. But you and I, we talked about this the other day, that the president has promoted. He had a rally the last impeachment.
Yeah.
The last impeachment.
After impeachment.
After impeachment. Yeah. There has not been multi impeachments yet.
No, not yet.
Not yet.
When we get to the second one, we can talk about that.
Right. We had said he should be marketing it, and so the campaign has decided to do it. We'll see in the next couple of days how widespread that ad, or maybe another ad that is a shorter ad, is out there. That might be the online ad. Maybe right. They will do some TV. We know they're going to do one for the Super Bowl. So
right, yep.
You know, it's interesting because you and I talked about, we wanted to, in 30 seconds, be able to give the major points of what Adam Schiff said yesterday, and what we got out of it, if you want to explain it in 30 seconds, is the fact that when Donald Trump tells somebody something, when that's used as evidence, like when he told Sondland or the conversations with Volcker, anything that Trump said is him setting up an alibi. Without any evidence, that was basically what Schiff said, and the fact that the Russians helped Trump, and we can't afford to let the American people vote this year. We need to vote Trump out because you can't trust the election this year.
Right.
So they're back to Russia collusion.
Yes.
That's basically the core of the major points. Anything that might be perceived as a little bit new, that's really came all that came out of it. And the Russia collusion isn't new, but it's new, making it a major point.
Right.
In impeachment prosecution. So other than that, it was the same old, nothing came out of it. Still amazed every day in this sense of perverted awe. And you and I were talking about, you know, just some of the things that were written on Twitter. This one came, I've got to read this one because I saw this one. We had talked last hour, we were talking about Jennifer Rubin from the Washington Post and what she had written, how history will ask how the Republicans could support this president. And then I found this one, and because I found this one on Twitter because I don't like I don't follow this particular person, but Luke Russert liked it, and I follow Luke Russert,
right.
Tim Russert's son,
right.
And it's Greg Miller, national security correspondent for the Washington Post, winner of the Pulitzer Prize and author of The Apprentice. Okay, want to hear what he had to say?
Okay.
Adam Schiff might be the most underestimated politician California has ever produced. Many in the GOP dismissed him as bland and partisan, but the way he has handled impeachment will leave a mark on history exceeding nearly all contemporaries. Anything he writes on national security ought to be suspect if that's his analysis of Adam Schiff.
Yeah.
And it was funny because people responding said, we can't tell. Are you really serious?
Right.
Or is this sarcasm?
Right.
We really can't tell. But the best part of it was the first response afterwards. I don't know who this person is, but the first response to him running that was, the other great thing about Schiff is his honesty, integrity, and moral compass. He just has all those qualities, something totally lacking on the other side. And
is there another Adam Schiff?
Yeah, maybe they're talking about the one on Law and Order.
Could be.
Is that the maybe. Adam Schiff from the
yeah? I bet
from Law and Order.
It had to be.
Okay, maybe that's the thing that's going on. Since that's what it is, the people on Jeopardy didn't know who Adam Schiff was.
Yeah, but they know
the other Adam Schiff from Law and Order.
Right. So, because that's so far gone, if it's not tongue-in-cheek, that's so far gone. Those comments are so far gone. You would have to smoke crack to sober up. You would have to actually smoke crack to be less delusional.
When you take when we take everything in totality,
right.
And we look at Adam Schiff and we know his record. We know what he has lied about. We know he has told the biggest lies. We know he's lied right to the American people and told him the American people that he had evidence that Trump colluded with the Russians. Mm-hmm. He did not have any evidence that Trump colluded with the Russians. at all. And he said that for 2 years. Over 2 years he said that.
Mm-hmm.
And then he lied to the American public when he wrote an official memo from the House Intelligence Committee when he was the minority leader of the House Intelligence Committee. He wrote a memo disputing Devin Nunes and the Republicans that said the FBI screwed up big time here and we have it from the classified documents.
Right.
Then Adam Schiff went and read those classified documents and put out a report that was completely and totally false. And he accused the Republicans of lying and misrepresenting what the classified information was. He did this in a premeditated way, knowing what the classified information said. And we know that Adam Schiff was lying. How do we know that? Because of the Inspector General's report.
Right.
And the Inspector General's report verified everything that Nunes said in the Republican report, and everything that the Democrats had in their report was a lie. So we know that. We know that he will take, in an official setting, he will take and lie about classified information when Americans are trying to find out the truth about whether the FBI abused its power in getting a secret warrant on American citizens. Adam Schiff has no problem looking at that evidence. And when a truthful report comes out, number one, contradicting it and calling the other side liars. That's the man that the media on the left is saying will forever be remembered for his integrity and honesty.
Yeah.
And great presentation of bogus articles of impeachment against President Trump. That's what you're dealing with here.
Right.
And understand, whether it's Jennifer Rubin of the Washington Post, who we read before, or the gentleman was Miller that we just read his tweet from the Washington Post, they are representative of a significant portion of Democrat voters who are not delusional. They know what they're saying is lying. He knows that's bogus. She knows it's bogus. Everybody who has paid attention knows that the articles of impeachment are bogus. They don't care. They want the president gone because they didn't get what they wanted to get in 2016. It's that simple. They didn't get power and control, and they want it by any means, and a significant portion of the Democrat voters who support these candidates and support these media outlets also want the same thing. They don't care about the Constitution. They don't care about law. All they care about is getting what they want when they want it. As we have said, because we've expressed this for the longest time now, please be specific. Tell us where we're wrong.
Yep. The display being put on by Adam Schiff yesterday, totally moving away from the articles of impeachment, saying that essentially the election is rigged.
Yeah.
And that we can't let this get to the election because it will be rigged. Another nation will help Trump, which is to undermine the hearts and minds of the American people that vote for this president. You can't be trusted. It's rigged. And essentially saying the Russians helped him get elected in 2016.
Yep.
Mueller didn't find that.
Nope. No evidence that the Russians changed the outcome of the election at all.
Right.
Zero evidence.
Right.
Adam Schiff made that lie yesterday.
Yep. And he's saying right now it's already rigged.
And saying it's already rigged where you cannot trust the process of an American election.
Right. Then we can't trust the process ever again. Because
is somebody willing to defend Adam Schiff and saying that that statement is accurate in any way?
Right.
You can't.
Because if you can't trust it this election, then tell me why you would trust it the next election.
It is a problem that the Democrats are going to have when the Republicans start, you know, doing in essence their cross-examination, is anything that the Democrats have said concerning the major charges against Trump on Russia collusion and now impeachment, anything that they have said falls by the wayside under simple cross-examination. everything falls apart. Everything.
Yep.
They make an allegation, falls apart. Cross-examination, falls apart. That's why they did not want the president to have a defense in the impeachment hearings.
Right.
That's why they did not want an equal opportunity for Republicans to subpoena the witnesses they wanted. That's why still the inspector general and his testimony in the secret portion of the hearings has not been released by Adam Schiff, as was brought up by, was it, Kevin McCarthy brought it up last night. Who's covering up? Who's lying? Adam Schiff, the lead prosecutor. Tell us where we're wrong based on any of the specific evidence that we have used to justify our allegation against Adam Schiff. Go ahead. You can.
I'd love to hear it.
866-90-RED-EYE.
Japan, China, USMCA. All trade agreements made between the U.S. and these major trading partners, and all done, according to the chief ag negotiator of the U.S. Trade Representative's office, Greg Dowd, at a pace he referenced as historic compared to previous trade deals.
Since I've been there in 22 months, we've renegotiated 51% of U.S. ag exports.
He says in the case of our nation and USTR renegotiating a trade agreement with North American neighbors Mexico and Canada.
In a period that almost killed the building. We were literally sleeping on our couches in our offices at night as we negotiated this. We did a Japan deal in 6 weeks that should have taken 16 months.
And a significant amount of work regarding a deal with China. Ambassador Dowd says the experience gained in negotiating these trade agreements at an accelerated pace will be important as the U.S. works to secure additional trade deals in the near future with global markets such as India. I'm Rod Bain reporting for the U.S. Department of Agriculture in Washington, D.C.
The USDA report is brought to you by Cenex Roadmaster XL Premium Highway Diesel Fuel.
Coming up, more with Gary McNamara and Eric Harley. It's Red Eye Radio.
It's Red Eye Radio. He is Eric Harley, and I'm Gary McNamara. Your calls and comments coming up. A lot of people want to comment, of course, on as we move into the third day of the impeachment trial, but the second day of the prosecution. And I heard, was it, I forgot who it was, one of the senators said, was it Cruz who said they believe that it'll go on for, they're going to take the full 24 hours?
Yeah, and I guess it depends, too, where they get on witnesses. As to how long the trial goes on, you know, beyond that. But, yeah, it looks like they'll take their full 24. Because, I mean, we already know what the Democrats are presenting. You made the point earlier, and I'm curious as well to see what they're going to do, what the Republicans, what the defense is going to do this weekend.
Yeah, I mean, little nuance changes, like we're bringing in Russian collusion again, and that we can't trust the election. That's why you need to get rid of Trump.
Right.
Which again has got nothing to do with the articles of of impeachment, and the other point is we brought up that Schiff brought in, which I believe is a major point, is that if Trump told somebody there wasn't a quid pro quo and he wanted nothing from the Ukrainians, that was simply him giving his alibi. So again, it gets back to mind reading.
Yeah, right.
You know, as Kimberly Strassel, I think, wrote an article about a month ago, said the only way you can justify what the Democrats are saying is if you believe they can read minds.
Yes, right. Which is what they have been trying to do, even with Russian collusion. They were doing that.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, the line of questioning was going to be, you were thinking about firing Mueller. What were you thinking when you were thinking about it?
Not the behavior.
What was your motive?
But exactly. The thought process behind doing something you ended up not doing.
Right. Here's your forecast.
Unsettled weather will persist across the western U.S. this week with heavy coastal rain and mountain snow for the Pacific Northwest. A storm will develop over the central plains and track to the northeast through this weekend, bringing a wintry mix over portions of the plains and Midwest, heavy rain over the northern Gulf Coast, and a potential for heavy snow in the northeast this weekend. All top weather headlines this morning. Showers continue in the south, especially for eastern Texas, where thunderstorms rumbled throughout the day yesterday. Rain will extend up into the lower Tennessee Valley, and then by the time you get into the states of Missouri, Illinois, and Iowa, that's where you'll pick up the snow and potential icing this morning and throughout the day. That system is moving eastward. Rain in the south will progress a little faster as we head into Friday. Now the snow will linger in the Midwest. Your national forecast from Red Eye Radio. I'm meteorologist John Trout.
Page 2, Red Eye Radio.
And he's Eric Hurley. I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90-RED-EYE. Okay, let's go to a bunch of calls here on impeachment. We go to Eric in Tennessee. Eric, welcome. You're on Red Eye Radio. Welcome to the show.
Yes, sir. Thank you very much. Just a real quick comment, and then I'll hang up. I would like your thoughts on this. If in the future House and the Senate are both controlled by the Democrats, will the American people ever be able to install an independent or a Republican president in the future? It seems that the impeachment process has basically broken our politics.
Yeah, okay. You're asking the question that what is to keep the Democrats from doing this to every Republican president? And the question is, or the answer is, elections. That the American people eventually get sick of it and you lose elections because of it, because you don't have a plan for the American people. If the American people believe that this is the right way to go, then this is the way that it will stay.
Yeah.
It's up to the American people as to what the American people want. This exists today, and the mindset from the Democrats and the lies and everything that you hear from the Democrats today exists for one reason and one reason only. These are the people that the voters put in. And not all, but a significant majority of those people who put these Democrats into office, for example, who put Adam Schiff into office, agree with him totally.
Mm-hmm.
They know the impeachment is bogus. They understand that it's bogus. We've made this claim. They know it is.
Right. Yeah, they do.
They know it's completely bogus. Everyone in the media knows it's bogus. Every commentator for every major media outlet that says these article of impeachments are legit are lying. Mm-hmm. They know. Mm-hmm. They're not idiots. Mm-hmm. They don't care. They don't care. They want power and control. They want their party in power. They don't care how they do it. We had warned that this is what was going to happen a while back. We said, look, when you have a political party that wants to limit freedom of speech, and this started years ago with Roe v. Wade, with McCain-Feingold.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, these people shouldn't get free speech. These people, well, corporations aren't people. That's the road you go down. You find the boogeyman and say that person doesn't have rights. They're not people. Well, no, a corporation is a process set up to organize people who want to have a particular type of business.
Yes.
That was the dumbest argument that was ever made. Corporations aren't people. Well, no. They're a set of basically laws and rules set up by the government to organize people who wish to be in business in a certain way.
Right.
They don't lose their constitutional right to free speech. You pick out the bad guy and say, that person doesn't have it anymore. Once you start going down that road, and that's what the Democrats, for the most part, and moderate Republicans who had liberal views on freedom of speech, John McCain.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's what you can expect. And so I was warning this, and I know you were too, way, way back when. This goes back to the late 90s when McCain-Feingold was being promoted.
Oh, yeah.
That I was taught. So
yeah,
this goes back over 20 years.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
And said, look, when you do this, eventually you're going to get to the point where, okay, now you don't get your, and we see where it is now. Mainstream conservatives shouldn't be able to speak on college campuses. We'll riot.
Well,
we'll
I mean,
riot. We'll commit acts of vandalism. You need to shut up. You don't have it. Freedom of speech, freedom of religion, the Second Amendment.
Well, presidential powers.
The presidential powers.
The other presidents had these powers, but he shouldn't have them.
Right. He shouldn't have them. The Electoral College, they don't believe in the things that you believe in. Now, the way you change it is, hopefully there's enough of a majority of American voters, and we believe that there is, who will say we're sick and tired of this. And this is not about whether you like Trump or not. It is about, because we've heard about the corruption of the Bidens, and as we've warned a few people, the corruption of the Bidens, to me, is not even close to being as important as the corruption of the House of Representatives attempting to impeach a president with bogus articles of impeachment.
Yeah. Well, and you look at it again, they don't want this president to have any power whatsoever. Think about it. The travel ban, which is one of the first challenges to his power. And it was based on, in fact, a group of nations that was pointed out and first listed by the Obama administration.
Exactly.
You look at the killing of Soleimani. Well, no, you can't do that. And again, giving deference to Iran in this case. I mean, it is. And it's nonstop, because it is the same thought. I don't like you. I don't like how you think. You shouldn't have freedom of speech.
Well, it's what we've always heard. Well, these people shouldn't have free speech because they're a danger.
Right.
Trump shouldn't have the executive power he has because he's the exception to the rule. He's dangerous.
Right.
You know, yeah, I mean, this isn't a normal president. This is what you heard from. This is Schiff trying to communicate this yesterday. We can't trust this president because of the 2016 election that was rigged, and the 2020 election will be rigged also if Trump remains in there. Trump is an anomaly, and so we wouldn't do this normally. We're just going to do it with Trump.
Hmm. Right.
That's what it is.
Mm-hmm.
And we know a lot of people don't like Trump. He rubs them the wrong way. Therefore, it will justify us doing it. Well, it doesn't justify doing it.
Nope.
And that's why you have people like Jonathan Turley, who are not Trump supporters. That's why you have and Alan Dershowitz. Remember, these guys are liberals. On the issues of the day, they're liberals.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, you see Dershowitz now is going to be a constitutional consultant and speak about it. He's doing what the ACLU used to do. The ACLU didn't take political sides. They took constitutional sides. And that's what Dershowitz is doing here. Nothing impeachable here.
No.
Nothing. Absolutely nothing. And the process itself has been so corrupt.
Yeah.
And it's been corrupted by the person who is now the lead prosecutor in the Senate. It is almost as the one president's attorney said yesterday, I forgot which one it was, who said, it's almost unbelievable to listen to. And you and I have been talking about this for months. Cipollone said it, yes. I mean, it's like a perverted sense of awe. You can't believe, you just can't believe, as somebody who is a critical thinker and lover of a Constitution and believer in the Constitution and understanding how sacred it is and how sacred the process is outside of our day-to-day politics, that you can't believe what you're hearing from these people's mouths and the enabling and the support they're getting from people in the media. Because it's everything that we as Americans are supposed to be against.
Well, I mean, it was critical praise. If you think about it, they were praising the performance of Adam Schiff.
Yeah,
I don't know how you can do that without completely faking it.
Well, I guess I could see if you say, look, for somebody who was lied, for somebody who was lied, who in the process perverted the process himself and who has become the lead prosecutor, he sure is BSing well.
Yeah. He does a good job at that. Right.
If you said that, I could say, okay, that's at least, I disagree with your opinion because he can sell it based on the totality of his involvement in all of the lies and all of the cover-ups along the way. When you look at Russia collusion all the way to impeachment, I would disagree with your analysis that he's done a great job on it, because I look at it in the totality and say, no, it's horrible what he's doing. But at least I could say you've got a ton of critical thinking. I just disagree on what you view as his aesthetic performance.
Right. Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's just bizarre. Yesterday, going off on the tangent of Russia collusion. And they're going to stay on that narrative. We knew they were when Nancy brought it up in a meeting, and it leaked. It leaked for a reason. They want to create doubt already ahead of the election, likely because they're seeing the internals that show this president right now is in a good position to win. They know that their field is weak. Think about that. Who was it that made the point that, you know, a few of those Democrats would rather be in Iowa? I mean, if they believed they could win, if you really believed you could win, you'd want to get this thing over with and done. They know they're not going to get to 2/3. But they also know that their party's weak. And it's desperate. It is chaos.
And by the way, we're getting the same comments over and over again, and we need to address them, you know, that, well, Dems will keep impeaching again and again. If they have power, they may. Yes, we understand that. We keep getting that comment, but it's probably the most frequent comment that we get.
Mm-hmm.
So let's settle that now. We understand that.
Right.
And to the last caller, yes, we are a system where the American people can change that if the American people wish to change it. If the American people do not wish to change it, then, Eric, we are doomed. Doomed.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. But it's the American people that make the decision of what kind of society that we wish to live in. This is on the American public. So, you know, we keep getting the things, well, you're not going to convince Democrats. We understand that. We addressed that, in fact, at the beginning of the show, knowing we were going to get calls on that. Mm-hmm. That's not what you're trying to do.
No.
You've got roughly 20% of independents, and you roughly have probably 5-7% of those independents that will decide any election. And we saw what happened with the polling, without question, across the board, when it came to the House impeachment inquiry.
Yeah.
They didn't buy into it, and it was hurting them. And so it is, and as we say, it is those independents, and it may be, maybe, who knows, 1, 2, 3, 5% of Democrats that finally say, we've had enough of our party. This is not the party of my father. It's not the party of when I first became a Democrat. I'm not even familiar with it, because they have changed so drastically and moved to the left so drastically. So that is the hope that you have. But no, we understand, yes, they could impeach over and over and over again as long as they remain in the House.
If they believe that, yeah, if they believe that they're doomed and their political chances are very slim in November, who knows? They may turn right back around. Look, they're waiting for him to do something wrong. They've even said it, as you know, they alluded to that by saying what? Well, wait until the truth comes out. But no, you guys just proved your case in the House. Wait until the truth comes out. What do you mean?
They think the equation to defeat him is always having another allegation.
Yeah.
Don't have to prove the allegation.
Nope.
Just have the allegation. The allegation itself. Now, do they believe it's enough, or do they believe it's their only way and they're doing it out of desperation? Doesn't matter.
Right.
It is their MO. It's where they're headed. That's their plan. 866-90-RED-EYE.
Drivers, our friends at PACCAR have a product for your toolbox called PACLINK. It provides real-time information about what's going on with your truck. Michelle Moline is manager of product development for PACLINK and has more details.
PACLINK is basically a mobile diagnostic device that has a Bluetooth chip in it that allows you to use your phone to read why the check engine light is on in your truck. One of our biggest users is actually our own dealerships at PACCAR. Now, our dealers are also reselling this product to customers, and customers, owner-operators or fleet drivers, use this while they're on the road so that if they have a check engine light that comes on, they can easily just use their phone to plug this thing in and see what's going on and then either send a report back to their dispatcher to await further instructions or, in the case of an owner-operator, possibly even just figure out what needs to be done and go from there. It's a very simple ordering process. Go to PACCAR.com/PACLINK, P-A-C-L-I-N-K. I should mention, too, that if you're a member of OOIBA Association, you receive a 10% discount by logging into the OOIBA website.
This report is a service of Shell Rotella.
Lines open for your calls. 866-90-RED-EYE on Red Eye Radio.
It's Red Eye Radio. He is Eric Carley, and I'm Gary McNamara. Yeah, just the input we've had over the last couple of days that, you know, well, if they keep power, they could do this all the time.
Yep.
Yeah.
It's a given.
Yeah, that's a given. That's the whole point. Will the American public get frustrated and say, we want people that are actually going to govern and try to accomplish things, or do we want a legislative body from a particular political party whose only goal is to attempt as legislators to get rid of the people that they don't like.
If we tolerate this behavior, then that's on us.
Yeah.
Then we're doomed.
Right. They're doing this because they have the support to do it.
Yep.
This is Red Eye Radio on Westwood One.